Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the program. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that I've been doing on this station now for 20 years, trying to intersect faith and values with different issues that are going on locally and globally. It's always a pleasure doing this show. Thank you, listeners, for joining me on a weekly basis. And many thanks to my sponsors, Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry. Without you, I could not do this on a weekly basis. Well, today's a show I've really been looking forward to. I have on air with me Manny Ahome. Manny has been a friend for many, many years, but I just admire him so much, his passion for life, but mostly the call that God has on his life to do something special, something unique that few, if any, are doing at all. Manny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. It's always great to be with you. I'm just always feeling inspired just to be around. Like I said a while ago, when I grew up, I want to be just like
David. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Manny. Well, I am a little bit raspy today. I have a little bit of laryngitis, so I'm going to ask you to help me carry this show. And that's not going to be hard for you, because if there's anyone I know who can be a bit garrulous, talkative, it's my friend Manny Ahome. So share with us, Manny, in case anybody doesn't know, you're the CEO of Samaritan's Feet. It's a wonderful ministry that's trying to put shoes on the feet of children around the world. And let's start off with this statistic, which we can then back up and let people know about your background, which led you to this position. Most folks don't realize that the vast majority of diseases are passed on to children throughout the world through their feet. Talk about that.
You know, the World Health Organization said 1.5 billion people in the world with the B are infected with salt-transmitted diseases that comes into their feet because many of them don't have shoes. I mean, just put it in perspective, over 300 million children in Africa woke up today with no shoes on their feet. The reality that many of these children walk through fishes, I mean, contaminated water. I mean, they have a simple laceration, David, that could become a death sentence. I mean, just think about a place like Uganda where a young child that walks through this mud or something gets a corroded metal that cuts them and opens up that wound. A parasite, a jigger, can come right to transport through the blood, through their body, leads to something that looks like they got leprosy and something that we can prevent with a pair of shoes. I just think that's an injustice. I mean, a place like Ethiopia, where over 4 million people have this condition called podokoniosis. It's a non-filarial type of elephantiasis. I mean, 1 million people in Ethiopia, children, has this condition, 4 million in total. I mean, many of them work in agrarian situation. You've been to Africa. You've seen how these people live. But many of their parents, they don't have shoes. They're walking in soil made out of silica. And this soil attacks the sole of their feet, eats away at their protective layer, and then attacks their nerve. Their feet blows up sometimes to 2-4 times the original size of their feet. They start smelling. They can't interact with regular people. Their children can't go to school because their parents can't afford to pay for them to go to work. And we can prevent that. That's something that's very preventable. And we said, man, this shouldn't be happening on our watch. We can do something about that. In our own country, in the United States, people don't realize, you think all these diseases are all over the world. I mean, I had a friend actually in Tampa, Florida, that was cleaning some of the gutters around the highway. Never thought anything of it. Feet got cut by something. Didn't even realize there was some type of parasite that came into the body. Attack went through their body, got logged in their heart, almost killed them. Salt-based parasites that comes into our body because we don't have protective layer. We take it for granted this country because we have shoes as a fashion accessory. But to the millions around the world, it's actually a vehicle to help them survive.
Well, when you were on the show some 3 years ago, you told us you had a goal. And that goal was to have how many pairs of shoes put on the feet of children worldwide?
A goal was to impact 10 million people around the world. And it's amazing, David, to think about this is going to be our 17th year. And as of today, we've served over 7.2 million children and people in over 108 countries, 408 U.S. cities and communities, because God said, go do. And because of friends like you and partners all across the world, we've been able to impact people.
Well, that voice is Manny Ahome. Manny is an interesting story, birthed in Africa. You can probably tell a bit of an accent still that carries you along. who came to the United States because of basketball, a mutual love that we have together. And then God has used that gift of basketball to give you this passion for putting shoes on children's feet. And it's just a remarkable story, Manny, what you've been able to do. Basketball coaches all over the country at all different levels taking off their shoes during games as a way, coaching barefoot, a way of supporting your ministry and giving notoriety to your cause of 10 million shoes on the feet of children all around the world. When we come back, what I want to do is have you tell us your story. It is so fabulous, so beautiful, from Nigeria to North Dakota to this wonderful passion, this ministry that God has called you to be, your family, just how God is using you. And I want that story to get in everybody's hearts, because the bottom line is everybody can do something to help somebody else to advance God's kingdom here on this side of eternity. Manny Ahome, I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
WBT, a radio.com station.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. One of my special friends and really great men of God is my guest today, Manny Ahome. He is the CEO and founder of Samaritan's Feet, a wonderful ministry that's trying to put shoes on the feet of children around the world. Several years ago, he was on this show and told me he had a goal of 10 million shoes on the feet of children. He's now has, Manny, again, how many?
Over 7.2 million.
So you're getting there, my friend, and we want to help you get there today as well. But I think it'd be really interesting for people to know from where you've come. Tell us your story, little boy in Nigeria, and how God touched your heart.
You know, David, I was born into a first-generation Christian family. Everybody knows me as Manny, but my original name is actually Emmanuel. Every time I talked to my mom said, how in the world did you let them start calling you Manny when I've given you the best name there is?
It means God with us. What a great name.
You know, but it all started in Africa. I grew up in a home. My father was a practicing animist. My mom was a first-generation Christian in my family. She came to know Christ through the work of some, you know, Anglican missionary in Nigeria. And it's amazing to think about, you know, growing up in that type of culture where, you know, the occult and the darkness was very real.
And it still is still in very different real. Parts of the world.
People don't realize, because we live in this civilized society, we become so removed from those reality. And the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. Those powers are real. Well, my father was a guy that struggled with alcohol. My father was a guy that just had a lot of choices that he made early on in life that really tend to affected a lot of things that he's gone through. I had three sisters. When my mom became pregnant with me, I remember her telling me later on in life, she said, well, the medicine man, which are the folks in Africa that uses their spiritual powers to help intimidate and help show the way, they say. I told my mom that the baby she was carrying was going to be wasn't going to come to fruition except she does sacrifices.
Oh, really? And what kind of a sacrifice, Manny?
You know, in our culture, just like in the old traditional Jewish culture, they use animals and different types of things to appease a god. And in our culture, in Nigerian culture, and then part of the Western Nigerian culture where I was, you know, they had to sacrifice different types of things to appease the different gods. And my mom, after she came to know Christ, she said the ultimate sacrifice has been had on the cross called Calvary, and I don't have to do any more sacrifices. Well, that was a dangerous thing to say to a medicine man. And so they started scaring her to say, well, if you don't do this sacrifice, that baby was going to be killed. Well, one day, David, my mom was home, just like my dad. My father was out drinking with all his buddies. She said she was woken up from her sleep. It was one of the scariest days. My mom was a very tough, strong woman. She said she was woken up, and she heard this step coming towards her door. And as the intensity of that step kept coming towards her, she started getting fearful. She called my father's name a couple times, and there was no response. And then as this step came closer, she remembered what this missionary told her. She said, every time you encounter fear, call the name of Jesus. And she said all she could muster was, in the name of Jesus, whatever step is coming towards my door, I command you to turn around. And said, with the intensity that step was coming, she heard something turn around, and she started to shake. She started to be fearful. And she said, God, save me. And she said she made a commitment to God that day. She said, God, if you allow me to have this baby, and if this baby is a boy, I'm going to name him Emmanuel, because tonight my God was with me. And a few months later, this good-looking thing came right out. and my mom told me that she made our way with the Lord, and she named me Emmanuel, and she told me I was going to serve God. And it's amazing to think about as I grew up in my home, things were tough. I grew up in a place like most part of Africa where people live on less than $1 or $2 a day. So I used to wake up growing up, David, and say simple prayers like, God, give me 001. That means it's okay if I don't have breakfast or lunch, but at least give me supper so I can make it to the next day. And to think about our world, I mean, you look at me today and say, man, you haven't missed a meal in your life, you know. You've been so blessed. But that was our reality. And it's crazy to think about, as I grew up in that home, my job at the age of 9 is to help my mom also contribute to the bottom line of our economics of our home.
So just
just to be able to provide. So my job is to go sell water and soft drinks to athletes that can play sports by my house. Well, one day, David, I showed up at this park in Lagos, Nigeria, selling soft drinks and water, and there was this group of people from America. They were missionaries that came to do some humanitarian work. And as they showed up there, they brought these little orange balls. In Nigeria, David, everything is round and bounce. We kick them, you know, but they call this one's basketball. You should have seen the joy as these guys were dribbling, girls were passing and shooting. And I want to join them, but I was one of the street merchants, so I didn't belong. And they tried to shoo me away. But they were having so much fun, so I put my basket of water down. And I saw one of the balls go around. So I ran after it, grabbed it, and snuck in and joined with these kids playing. Well, they tried to tell me to move away all the other kids. I didn't listen. I just stayed there. Well, in the middle of all this mayhem, this missionary called David from Wisconsin said, we're going to have a shooting competition. And he said, the price for the winner is going to be a new pair of tennis shoes. David, this place went ballistics. Because when you live in a place where your parents live on less than $1 a day, a pair of tennis shoes like a Mercedes-Benz. And when this guy said, who wants to participate? Every child in that place was, pick me, we're jumping.
Including Emmanuel Ohome, correct?
It was very true. I was one of the few that got picked that day. David, I never played basketball in my life. But I truly believe Angels was working overtime that day because the shot I shot that day went in.
Was it the swish?
It was the swish. I mean, the net wasn't as good as the swish here over here. But it was one of those crazy things where I was so elated. I ended up winning the competition, David. I became the
And you never played
never
before?
Never played basketball. I go watch people. And I just, I mean, I still think about how you talk about being or something happened providentially. It's just like, I don't even know how to play this game. And I became the first person in my family that day, actually in my community, to become the owner of a tennis shoes.
Wow.
It was so surreal. I was so excited. All I wanted to do was run home.
And again, you're 9 years old.
I'm 9 years old. And I'm so excited. And as I was about to take off, and this gentleman called me to the front and presented me this pair of shoes. And I was about to take off, and he grabbed me by my shoulder. And he said, son, just because all you see around you is poverty doesn't mean the God of the universe has forgotten about you. He says, son, keep dreaming and keep dreaming big. And after I finished speaking, I just took off. David, I ran so fast, I forgot my basket of water. You know, I remember showing up at home, mom looking at me and said, son, where is the soft drinks at? What? I said, mom, I check out my shoes. And mom was so happy for me. And a couple minutes later, she said, son, you better go bring my water back. And I had to run all the way there. But that became a journey for me because my home life was somewhat difficult. So basketball started becoming my escape. So
how did you find ways to play basketball?
Well, you know, there was a coach, Coach Guinea, in Lagos, Nigeria, that took an interest because he was actually the original coach for one of the most famous Nigerian basketball player, Akeem Olajuwon. And when he saw the success of Akeem, he started looking for kids that he brings together as part of a mini youth development program. He'll come on Saturday, he'll come teach us. And when he's not there, we just go show up there and go play with everybody that's out there. And that became my daily routine. After school, I'm there. After school, I'm there. I became better, I became bigger, I became stronger. And as I was finishing high school, you know, my dream was one day, you know, I would love to go to America, but I wasn't as big as the other kids. I wasn't as tall as the large ones of the world. But the coach didn't even know if I wouldn't have the potential to become what I thought I could. But I said there was something about me that was special. So he said, I'm going to try and introduce you to some schools in America. And he gave me those addresses. Said, you write them, and I'll serve as a reference for you. Well, Dave, I ended up getting 5 scholarship offers. And but I didn't know much about America. I said, well, I've heard about New York, I've heard about Los Angeles, and I've heard about Houston, Texas. So I said, I'll pick the school with the best looking brochure. I ended up picking the University of North Dakota in Lake Region. And I said, I remember still showing up in North Dakota. I said, I've done something wrong to God.
Wow.
Huge contrast. I mean, it was such a huge contrast, but it was one of the greatest decisions I ever made. Because I remember showing up there, I said, man, I don't think African people should actually live in North Dakota. But it was the warmth and the love in which they received me. I ended up going to school at that place for 2 years, transferred to a school in Minnesota called Concordia, and then eventually went to North Dakota State for my master's degree. And as I was finishing through all that stuff, my dream, Dave, was one day I knew what it was like to be hungry. I wanted to be able to actually, I thought really I was going to run the UED food program one day. But God had a different plan. And it's amazing to think about, as I finished my grad school, I got actually recruited by a technology company right here in Charlotte. That's what brought me to Charlotte. And that company was successful, got acquired, and I joined another one. But while I was going through all this process and pursuing what I thought was my purpose, is to be successful so I can help my family back home, my father got sick. And I always tell people all the time that, see, God always allows us to make choices, but seldom will he ever allow you to pick your consequences. And my father's choice to abuse all those alcohol and all those things eventually caught up with him. And my father ended up getting diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver and a bunch of other things. And I knew my father was going to die. But through that process, David, God used that season of my father's life and that what we thought was failure to bring me back to Africa. But through that process, my father actually came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. Ended up dying 2 weeks after accepted Christ. He passed away. So I had to go back to Nigeria to bury my dad. And as I showed up in Nigeria, I forgot how poor we really were. It was so bad, David, I couldn't even use the bathroom where I grew up. And I had to go across the street to the park where I used to sell water and soft drinks. And as I came out and I looked up on the horizon at that basketball court and I saw those children without hope, without shoes, I said, what if I can start coming to help children like this? And that's when the seed for Samaritan's Feet was planted in my heart.
Wow. And you now feel some call of God in Nigeria to come back to the States and begin a certain ministry. And I would guess that ministry is called Samaritan's Feet, which is the organization you now oversee. Manny, we need to take a break. When we come back, I want to explore this with you. What brought you back to America? What brought you to Charlotte? And how did that seed of helping kids with having shoes on their feet germinate in your heart, so that it has become this internationally known, wonderful organization that is literally touching millions of children worldwide? And we also want to know a little bit about your family, too, your beloved, your children, and all the ways that God is continuing to use you. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We will be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. My guest today, Manny Ahome, who is the founder and overseer of Samaritan's Feet, a wonderful ministry that has put shoes on the feet of children around the world, 7 million plus over the last years, and he has a goal of 10 million, and we want to help him reach that goal. By the way, if you'd like to hear the program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down on the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the podcast from beginning to end. It's just a wonderful story. Manny, how did you meet your wife?
While I was in North Dakota, David, I ended up running for what they call snow days, which is kind of like their version of homecoming. And I ended up winning. I became the first African guy to be crowned homecoming king. And, the next year, then I transferred and now Tracy ran for homecoming queen, and she ended up winning. So I came back to crown her. But the year I got crowned homecoming king, the homecoming dance, I saw this gorgeous, beautiful blonde-haired lady. I said, oh, my gosh, God, you sure did extra work on this one. So I ended up asking her to dance with me, and we started a friendship. And then right before I transferred from that college, so we decided, you know what, maybe we should maybe go on a date. And we did, and that became the next weekend and the next weekend. And after I transferred, we kept this long-distance relationship, and and then she eventually transferred and moved down closer to where I was in Fargo. And, you know, so that's how it began. And after I graduated my undergrad, you know, we decided that we're going to get married. And I asked her, I still think that God needs to heal a cataract, because I don't know, when she saw me, it's like, I don't think you really see what I've seen. You know? But it was a blessing, you know, because now we've been married for 27 years, been together for almost 30 years. And it's amazing to watch how God has blessed our life. We have four amazing children, 26-year-old and soon to be 24 and 20. And my son, who just turned 18, just on the 4th of February. But it's been a blessing just to watch the dynamics of our life, to watch how the brokenness of my wife as it relates to, you know, because she grew up in a home that was plagued with divorce. And as we were seeking and searching for what we want to become, and because we knew God had a call on our life, but we didn't know what it was exactly. We thought it was actually going to be a ministry to help couples that were struggling. So we went through a process, got certified to be, you know, family dynamics, marriage counselors, and did all this. So we're going to do retreats and all this stuff. But God had something much bigger in mind. But when I came back from Nigeria, I had this burden that we're going to use shoes and sports to reach the world. But my wife at that time was so passionate about this marriage thing. So we said, okay, we'll do both. So we started this organization. At that time, it was called Legacy of Divine Ministry. That was actually the name of our, you know, like our holding ministry at that time. And then God started blessing Samaritan's Feet. We did the retreat. We did the Jersey Jam Fest, doing 3-on-3 tournaments. But God started blessing Samaritan's Feet. And a dear friend of mine once day, he said, I want to take you out to lunch. And he said, Manny, you should take an inventory of your life and ask yourself, what are the things that God is blessing? Then pour yourself into whatever God is blessing in your life. And I looked at that and I said, you know what, you're absolutely right. And I went home, I said, honey, I know God is blessing all this, but for some reason he's blessing Samaritan's Feet unbelievably. So we said, let's put all our chips into this. And just
and when was that?
This was in 2000, or this was actually late 2002, early 2003. And so we decided, and then a series of things that happened in our life. You know, the last software company I was with, we just went through a huge round of funding. Came back, I was working in New York, came back to Charlotte. We were going through this next phase of this company's growth. And with this new source of funding, came this VC out of New York that wanted us to, they looked at all of us, we were this young 30-some-year-olds, say, you guys need some adult supervision. We just give you millions of dollars. We need somebody to help provide oversight. So we were going through this process. We were actually looking at acquiring a company actually out of Texas. And so myself and my new executive oversights, you know, the guy that came from New York, had to go do due diligence of this company in Texas. And while I was in Texas, we said, well, let's go. You know, they're one of my favorite Tar Heel of all time. You know, like Vince Carter was coming in town. He was he played at that time for New Jersey Nets. They were playing every against the Dallas Mavericks. So let's go watch a game. So we went and got a ticket. So we went down there. And right after we sat down, David, this guy, Jay Rollins, asked me. He said, if money wasn't an issue, how would you change the world? And I'm like, am I being set up? And I started sharing his passion about all this stuff. And then he stopped me. And he said, why are you here? And I said, I don't know. When your boss asks you why you're here, you quickly change the subject. So I'm like, this game better start. So the game started. I said, oh, he forgot all about this. And then fast forward a few weeks after that, my wife and a group of ladies went to this Joyce Myers conference in Greensboro, North Carolina. And she went with 5 other women. And when they got there, one of the ladies that rode down with them, Tracy, didn't know her. She only knew one of the ladies. And as they were walking out of the car, this lady stopped Tracy and said, Tracy, can I share a few things with you? And she said, absolutely. And she started telling Tracy things we've never told the soul. She said, God has called you guys into a vision that's much bigger than you, but you guys keep putting God in the box. And Tracy started crying, said, who is this person? And at the end of that stuff, she said, is it okay if I serve you in a very unique way? She said, what do you mean? And she had a bottle of Deer Park water. And she said, it's okay if I wash your feet, because God has called you to go wash the feet of his children all over the world. And I want to start by washing your feet. And Tracy started bawling, because we've never told anybody about that type of, especially her. And Tracy came home and said, we've been disobedient. He said, we need to go pursue what God has called us to do. So I said, well, let's get away. Let's go down to Charleston and go pray. So I was in Charleston with Tracy, and she said, honey, what is it going to take for you to leave your job to go pursue the call that God has on your life? I said, well, if God, you know, I know he's busy. If I can have another 6 months or so of income, maybe with what we have in saving, we can maybe survive for a couple of years. Well, I wish I said something else that day, David, because I came back to work on Monday. And that same guy, Jay, that we went to Dallas together, as I was going to lunch, I poked my head into his office. I said, Jay, you want to go grab lunch with me? He said, come in. And he shut the door. And he said, Manny, I never forgot that conversation. He said, I'm going to cut to the chase. Jerry, the guy that the VC is bringing in, wants to take your job. But I heard the passion in your voice when we were down in Dallas. What if we can help you start that ministry, organization you're talking about? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm going to cut to the chase. I can give you this amount of money. It was exactly the 6 months of income that I mentioned to Tracy on Saturday.
That's God.
And I started weeping. I started getting mad. I said, man, I don't know if this is God. I was, because the flesh in me rose up. I stomped out of his office that day, started crying, picked up the phone, called my bride. I said, honey, I think I lost my job today. She said, what do you mean you think? And she said, come home. She said, I know you're scared, but to him God calls, he always equips. And it's amazing. That became the impetus to help us start Samaritan's Feet.
One of my dad's favorite sayings, where God guides, God provides.
Come on.
And it sounds like that's exactly what happened with you. So that was the genesis of Samaritan's Feet. And now here we are 18 or so years later, and it's a worldwide organization. And I don't think you ever dreamed that you would have this kind of support, not only from companies, but also college coaches and others from all around the world.
I mean, it's amazing to think about. We've served over 7.2 million children, over 200,000 volunteers around the world have been activated. And to think about it, we only have about 50 staff around the world. And to think about the ability of what we get to do, this year alone, we're hoping to serve 1 million people, 100,000 in the United States, about 900,000 internationally. I mean, people don't realize, we're just wrapping up our MLK Day of Service, a partnership that we actually started years ago through a relationship we had with the children of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., where we said people celebrate, you know, the civil rights aspect of what he is, what he was. But he was actually just as great of a civic-minded individual. So we talked a while back. We actually had a lunch, a dinner function in Atlanta with Dr. Bernice and Martin III. And I remember saying, you know, man, what an opportunity would it be? What if we can start doing shoe distributions in his name around MLK? Well, David, in 2020, see, we started this probably the last 8 or 9 years. We served over 12,000 people this year alone in 25 cities in honor of Dr. King, where we have people, literally police officers, executive athletes, city leaders. I mean, civic-minded pastors. I mean, humble themselves and wash the feet of people and remind them that God hasn't forgotten them.
And people need to realize, when you distribute these shoes to children around the world or locally in America, you first wash the feet of the children. You proclaim the name of Jesus to them, the gospel of love, and then you give them shoes. That's just a wonderful picture of how Jesus, I think, would want to have us serve, but also give those things that people need.
Well, it's a blessing, because I think he commanded us, if you want to be great in life, you've got to understand the power of humility and what it means to model that. And that's the truly essence of what Samaritan's Feet is, because the shoe we give these kids, those shoes one day will dissipate. Those shoes one day will fall apart. But the love and the dignity that those kids received that day, and the hope, they will never forget.
And you then go back to that day when you won the prize of those shoes as a 9-year-old. They were put on your feet. Now you want to do the same for other children. It's like the blessing you received, you now give as a blessing to other people. That's another phrase that you and I both know, we're blessed to be a blessing, and you have given that gift away to other people. It's just a fabulous story. Manny Ahome is my guest today. President and CEO, founder of Samaritan's Feet, has placed shoes on the feet of 7.23 million children around the world. The goal is 10 million. And Manny, when we come back, how are you going to make that happen? That's the question I'll ask, and we just can't wait to hear your answer. I'm David Chadwick, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. With my guest, Manny Ahome, the founder and CEO of Samaritan's Feet, they have placed on the feet of children 7.3 million pairs of shoes over the last 18 to 20 years. Their goal is 10 million. And Manny, how are people engaged with you? I know I go on social media and watch you interact with some of the best named coaches in basketball collegiately throughout the world, the John Calipari's and the others of the world. And they have games where they actually take off their shoes and coach barefoot to say to the world, this is an organization you need to support Samaritan's Feet. Talk about the supporters.
You know, it's amazing. Actually, after I finished the show today, I'm actually heading out to go be with our dear friends at Florida State. They're coaching. This is going to be the 11th year that they're supporting that.
That Leonard Hamilton?
This game is going to be the women's coach. It's going to be Sue Semeraw that's going to be doing that. She was actually our Barefoot Coach of the Year last year, so I'm going to go support her. But with her and coaches all across the country, professional athletes from now the NFL to rugby in Africa to in NASCAR. Last year, we actually embarked on an amazing journey. I know you probably saw what happened to Ryan Newman just the last day or so here in our city, where the collision that happened over at Daytona. The guy that actually hit him was Corey LaJoy, and Corey LaJoy is actually our global ambassador. Last year, two of his races were Samaritan's Feet race. We actually donated one of the months of his salary so people can have shoes, end up raising enough money. I think he raised over $200,000, and then put shoes on feet of kids, not just here, but around the world. And we're growing that relationship with NASCAR. We're growing that relationship with corporate entities. And people don't realize this. Many companies like our dear friend Frank Harrison at Coca-Cola to other folks at Truist, I mean Kelly King over there, where they're using Samaritan's Feet as a platform, as a calling card to connect to those in their community so the associates can adopt Title I schools to serve them. It's a powerful way to battle servant leadership. It's a powerful way to activate service and bring unity and oneness within their company, but also be able to lead that out as part of their core mission. And we've seen that happen. So people that listen said, how can I get involved? I mean, you can start by saying, this year we want to serve 1 million children. Do you know, David, people don't realize for $25, I can put a pair of shoes on a child anywhere in the world. People don't realize this. And you can say, maybe my family want to impact a child a month. Maybe my church can adopt this and adopt a community, a school, whatever. Maybe my business can adopt this. Maybe my foundation can adopt this. And help us impact 1 million people this year. But beyond that, see, David, we're going to hit this goal, I believe, by 2021.
And the goal is, again,
10 million. We're going to hit this goal. And now we're asking ourselves, can we be that audacious to say maybe one day we can actually create a world where there will be zero shoeless children? And I know we can't do that, but we serve a God that said we can do all things through him that gives us strength.
And nothing's impossible
nothing,
with our God.
Nothing is impossible. And I believe that. So that's where we're sitting. So we actually invented a world shoe a few years ago. The first of its kind that's made in Azuhurst, Georgia. This world shoe actually has a built-in antimicrobial property in this shoe. And it's also, I mean, pretty powerful because after the shelf life of this shoe is over, when we discard it, we don't want to become an environmental nuisance. So it's actually got a biodegradable property in there as well. So that way, and this shoe, we can put these shoes on children's feet to protect them from any kind of disease and infection, but also be an environmentally friendly individual that's not polluting the world with discarded shoes at the end of their shelf life. And you can help us grow this. You can help us make this possible. And then part of our dream is one day we want to actually be able to establish our new headquarters right here in Charlotte. We've came up with a new term called voluntourism. We want to be able to attract people to come to our city to come serve at that global, you know, like a volunteer center, so they can also see the great things that Charlotte has in store. You can partner with us on that. We hope that place will have what we call our shoe-seum, the first of its kind that has an interactive shoe museum. I'm hoping your shoe will be displayed there one day, that we can talk about the great work, the great man that God has used to transform our city. Leaders like that we can tell their story through their shoes.
Well, I know that the church I pastor now, Moments of Hope Church, gave you a large gift. And when our people saw your work and then saw the gift that we were giving you, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, the place erupted into applause, standing ovation. It was just a neat thing. And churches can do that as well. Houses of worship can do that. Businesses can do that. Individuals can do that. They need us to think in terms of $25 is a pair of shoes on a kid's feet that can give them life forever. And Manny, how can somebody who wants to be a supporter of your ministry do so?
I mean, they can go to our website today at SamaritansFeed.org. They can support that. And if you want to read it, I actually wrote a book not too long ago called Soul Purpose. You can get a copy of that book. Go to soulpurposebooks.com and you can get that copy. You can just get to it from our SamaritansFeed.org. But more importantly, you can pray for us. And if you want to go see firsthand how this is, you can actually go on a mission trip with us. You know, and
you
that's,
do take people to the places where you're doing the,
we
the
do.
Shoe distribution.
We do. And we've been very blessed. And for those listening, you know, it's one thing to be able to call David your friend. But it's another thing to have someone that believes in your dream. I just want to publicly, in front of everybody, right as they're listening, to be able to say to you, thank you for being a believer in me and the mission of Samaritans. If you've been one of those leaders in this city that's believed in my dream from day one, and I can't thank you in Maryland enough for what you've done to help advance the mission of Samaritans.
Well, it's an honor, Manny. We consider you first our friend, mm-hmm. and that's what's most important. But we saw your vision, and we've seen the impact that it's had on people. It's not difficult, A, to support my friend Manny and Tracy Ahome, but it's also a joy to support your ministry and what God's called you to do. It's just been a fabulous outreach and with great results, and I see the future beginning to unfold for you even farther and larger. And I just prophesy and speak over you Amen. That God has something beyond even what you've hoped for or imagined. And Amen. As you reach the 10 million, there'll be even that dream of every child having shoes being accomplished within your lifetime. That would be something I'd support forever and ever. So it's a joy to call you my friend.
Thank you.
And here, as you listen, have the opportunity to speak to this whole city, what would you say to them?
I will tell you them that, you know, we live in a city today where they consider winning and success a lot of time based on economic means and financial means. And I want to encourage them to say, you know, pursue your soul purpose, what it is that God has called you to do. Keep God first, above all, serve, secondly, love and care those around you. Because when you do those things, magical things happen around you. Because you said that a while ago. I've heard you say that time and time again. Whatever you put out, you get. And when you love people, you get love. When you serve people, you get served. When you give, more will be given to you. And that's the beauty of this reciprocity, of the beauty of our kingdom, the kingdom of God that we serve. So if you listen today, pursue your soul purpose.
And Manny, it really has much less to do with the size of your house, the kind of car you drive, the clothes you wear. That doesn't make a doggone bit of difference in God's economy. God's not impressed with that. The creator of the universe is not. What really causes him to pause is when we have great faith that then obeys what he has called us to do, especially caring for the needy and the disenfranchised and those who have so little.
He said, when you've done whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it unto me.
Well, I'm so honored to have you on the show again. God bless you, friend. We'll get you back in another year or so to see where you are so that we can keep up with you. And again, the website address is?
SamaritansFeet.org.
And get the book, Soul Purpose, Manny's whole soul of the bottom of your feet purpose, and listen to his story over and over again, folks. You'll be challenged and amazed at how God can use you, too, to help the children of this world. God bless you, my friend.
Amen. God bless you, too.
And everyone, love God and love your neighbor. If you just do those two things, you have a lifetime's worth of work to do. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Thank you for listening now 20 years, and I'll join you all again next week.